Today's digest for August 20th, 2026. 10 stories today covering breaches and enforcement, critical infrastructure warnings, AI vendor competition, and developer tooling. We have got a telecom that cut a cable to evict its intruders, one of the year's largest health data thefts, a 17-defendant indictment out of Iran, and a payments finding about credit cards that refuse to die. Here's the rundown. First up, T-Mobile says it stopped Chinese state-backed hackers from turning a foothold into a full-scale breach, and the decisive move was a pair of scissors. Cybersecurity chief Jeff Simon has described how his team spent months tracing an intrusion tied to Salt Typhoon, the Chinese group that spent 2024 working through hundreds of telecom and technology companies. The trail ended at a compromised system in a data center near T-Mobile's Bellevue, Washington headquarters, wired to a router belonging to another carrier. Rather than wait, the team snipped the cable connecting that box to the outside world. The broader campaign swept up AT&T, Verizon, Charter, Windstream, and Viasat, hunting phone records and intelligence on American government officials and presidential candidates. T-Mobile's account is a reminder that early detection, not clever tooling, is what limits the damage. Next up, one of the largest health data thefts of the year, CareCloud, a New Jersey company that stores electronic medical records for tens of thousands of healthcare providers, has confirmed that attackers took data on 3.75 million patients. The intrusion happened back in March, when someone reached the patient data CareCloud keeps in its Amazon Web Services cloud environment and spent 6 days pulling it out. What left the building was unusually complete: names, postal addresses, social security numbers, medical records, passport and driver's license numbers, and banking details. CareCloud filed its disclosure with the Department of Health and Human Services this week, roughly 5 months after the breach itself. That makes it the fifth largest theft of health data reported in 2026 so far, and the company has said almost nothing publicly since March. Moving on to a long-delayed reckoning. The Justice Department has charged 17 alleged members of the Mabna Institute, an Iranian hacking-for-hire operation prosecutors say worked for Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. 8 are newly charged. The other 9 were indicted back in 2018. The numbers are the story. More than 31 terabytes of academic and proprietary material taken from 144 American universities, 178 foreign ones, more than 40 American companies, 5 federal agencies, and 2 nonprofits. Across a campaign running from roughly 2013 into December of 2017, prosecutors say the group went after about 100,000 professor email accounts worldwide and got into roughly 8,000. The State Department is offering up to $10 million for information on 5 defendants. None are in American custody. Also today, a joint federal warning about industrial control systems. The NSA, CISA, the FBI, the Department of Energy, and the Environmental Protection Agency issued a joint advisory saying threat actors are using AI assistance to build tooling aimed at internet-exposed Siemens S7 series programmable logic controllers. The affected hardware spans the S7200 through the S7-1500 lines. And the sectors flagged as most at risk are critical manufacturing, energy, water, and wastewater, chemical and food, and agriculture. The agencies called what they are seeing persistent reconnaissance and capability development, which is the polite way of saying someone is getting ready. The guidance is deliberately unglamorous: inventory every S7 device, patch it, get it off the public internet, and tighten access controls. Weak and default credentials remain the way in. Next, a payments finding out of the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Researchers there presented work at USENIX Security this year, showing a contactless credit card can keep authorizing transactions past its printed expiration date, and even after the cardholder gets a replacement. They call it the zombie card attack. The practical takeaway is mundane and slightly alarming. An expired card, tossed in a drawer, is not necessarily inert. Results varied by issuer, with one major American bank approving transactions at several price points, while another blocked them consistently. The proposed fixes push expiration checks into the cryptographic verification path, closer to how MasterCard and American Express already handle it, and ask issuers to validate the specific card, not just the account number. Visa began triage in May of last year, and no fix has been confirmed since. Moving to the AI vendors, where privacy has become a competitive weapon. OpenAI previewed something it calls private safety processing, an automated abuse detection system designed to spot misuse while retaining no customer data. It extends the company's zero data retention posture by looking for patterns across conversations, the kind of slow burn abuse a single session would never reveal, passing along only narrowly defined signals rather than the content itself. The contrast being drawn is with Anthropic, whose recent policy retains data for 30 days on certain covered models for safety analysis, with access limited to a small set of approved reviewers. Enterprises handling sensitive material have been uneasy about that window. What is notable is less the technology than the framing. Two vendors are competing on how little of your data they keep rather than how much they can do with it. Staying with OpenAI, a rollout stumble in its security researcher program. Trusted Access for Cyber gives vetted defenders models with relaxed guardrails so they can do vulnerability discovery and malware analysis, then report what they find. The newest tier, Daybreak Blue, opened on August 10th. On August 19th, researchers began reporting they had abruptly lost access, greeted instead by messages saying their identity could not be verified or their account was ineligible. TechCrunch spoke with five affected researchers, all based outside the United States and Europe. The detail that made the outage look like something other than a glitch, OpenAI has since confirmed it was a technical error on its end, told researchers this was not the experience it wanted to deliver, and asked them to reapply and verify again. Anthropic runs a comparable cyber verification program. Next up, a notable acquisition in AI infrastructure. OpenRouter, the marketplace that routes developer prompts across more than 400 models and handles over 10 trillion tokens a day, announced on August 19th that Stripe is acquiring it. Terms were not disclosed, and the deal is expected to close in the coming weeks. The company, roughly 90 people, says nothing changes for developers. Same mission, same name, same product, same roadmap, and existing integrations keep working. The stated rationale is that both do the same kind of work, wrapping messy infrastructure in a clean developer API, with Stripe bringing payments expertise, fraud tooling, and its customer base. The founders frame the point of the business as keeping the model layer neutral, so no single model becomes the default purely by inertia. A payments company owning that switchboard is worth watching. Also today, a practical look at sandboxing AI-generated code. Simon Willison put Smolv, a sandbox built on hardware-isolated Firecracker virtual machines rather than containers, through its paces, testing resource limits, network isolation, file system controls, and timeouts. The performance numbers are the interesting part. Cold starts landing between roughly 6/10 of a second and a second and a half, and warm executions around 50 milliseconds. Read-only input mounts, writable output directories, and unprivileged execution all held up. That matters because running untrusted code is now an everyday problem rather than an exotic one, and container isolation has never been a comfortable answer for it. There is a nice detail in the methodology, too. When the agent's own environment turned out to lack nested virtualization, it moved the benchmarks onto GitHub Actions runners. And finally, Go 1.27 shipped on August 19th. The headline language change is generic methods, letting a single method work across multiple types alongside direct initialization of nested struct fields in composite literals and broader type inference in assignments, which removes a lot of explicit type arguments. On the runtime side, size specialized allocation cuts the cost of small object allocation by up to 30%, worth about 1% overall on allocation-heavy programs, and a goroutine leak profile is now generally available for finding permanently blocked goroutines. The standard library picks up post-quantum signature support, native UUID handling, a faster second-generation encoder for structured data, and an in-memory fake network for HTTP tests. The tooling gains modernizers for atomic types and slice operations. That is the rundown for August 20th, 2026. 10 stories today, running from a pair of scissors in a Bellevue data center to a fresh Go release, with a fair amount of AI vendor maneuvering in between. Thanks for listening. I will be back tomorrow with whatever the feeds turn up.